on him as kind of a symbol of you're going to be, you know, the next in line. You're going to be the one who's coming after me. And so and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that, but there's kind of a neat little tradition there. But Elisha seems really excited about this, doesn't he? He seems very excited. He says, just please let me go kiss my mother and father, and I'll come and follow you, and I'll go wherever you want me to go. We assume that he probably at least knew of Elijah. And so he seems very excited to go. But to do what? Look at verse 21. So he returned from following him, took the pair of oxen, sacrificed them, boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. So the same wording that's used there, administered to him, in the original Hebrew, if you go back and look at what Joshua was to Moses, it's the exact same word. He's a servant. And so he's the leader of this group of oxen, and it's probably his family's property, if it's not his own property. Seems to be pretty wealthy. He's going to leave all of that, and seems excited about it, to become a servant to Elijah. Well, what was it that Elisha was going to gain by doing this? Well, he was going to have an opportunity to grow spiritually like he would not have had he not gone. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we're told, "But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity." And so God still wants us to grow. Sometimes, and I've had people tell me, "Tony, you don't know what you're missing by being a Christian." And I say, "You don't know what you're missing by not being a Christian." See, people will look at us and say, "You're crazy. You can't do anything. You're not allowed to do anything. You're so confined. You're so constrained." And I say, "I'm more free than you can ever be, unless you become a child of God as well. See, sin doesn't have a hold of me like it does you. They don't understand, they don't see, they don't get what benefits there are for being a Christian. Are there some trying times, struggling times, stressful times? Absolutely. You can confirm that with Lewis, and you can confirm that with Joel. I'm sure they will let you know. It can be stressful at times to be a minister, to be a servant, to be a Christian in general, and everyone knows that. And so we see here, Elisha gets this opportunity to grow spiritually beyond anything that he could imagine if he would stay where he was. And to become a child of God, you get an opportunity to grow spiritually farther than anything that you can ever imagine. If you would have told me even 15 years ago, and I've been preaching for, I don't know, probably about 17, 18 years, something like that. Even if you'd have told me 15 years ago that you would be a full-time preacher without an outside job, I'd have said, "Nope, not going to happen, not me, no way." If you would have said 20 years, 25 years ago, that I would have laughed in your face. If you would have said I was going to be a full-time preacher, there is no way. It's amazing what God can do, and I may not be very good at it, but it is amazing what God can do with your life when you say, "Here, take me in whatever direction you want me to go." Think about Elisha being able to be part of something greater than just himself. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." And that's what we sometimes forget. That's how God is able to accomplish so much in our lives. Not because Tony is so special. It has nothing to do with that. It's because the person who is in me is greater than anything that could be against me. And that is the only reason that he can accomplish so much in our lives. It's because of him. It's not because of us. It's because of what he can do within us. And when we start to say things like, "That will never be me. You will never see me doing that." We're not just limiting ourselves. And that's what I figured out. I'm limiting God. Let him work. Let him see what he can do. Let him use you. Let him use your life. And Elisha is willing to do that right now. Think about the people that he was going to be able to meet that he wouldn't have had the opportunity to do if he would have stayed where he was. 2 Kings chapter 5. So Naaman, right? The Aramean army captain. Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. He came to knock on Elisha's door. And what I think is hilarious is Elisha sends out a servant and doesn't even come to the door, does he? He sends out a servant, says, go tell him to dip in the Jordan 7 times and he'll be healed of his leprosy. He doesn't get this opportunity to meet this captain of this great army if he doesn't do what God has asked him to do in following Elijah. He's going to be blessed beyond measure, both physically and spiritually, because of what he's about to do. In 2 Kings chapter 2, starting in verse 9, now it came about when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked for a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. If you drop down into verse 15, now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. That doesn't happen. He doesn't get or gain this double portion of Elijah's spirit if he doesn't go with him right now. Now, he may not know all of this, but looking in hindsight, would he have been able to do any of these things if he didn't do what God wanted him to do at this moment in